You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, Faith is a Gift. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
Nearly 30 years ago, on April 8, 1966, Time magazine published a cover story that jolted many, many people. The magazine cover asked this question, Is God dead? This critical question, asked by a major secular institution, was in response to a movement that was gaining momentum in the United States in the 1960s. It was called the God is Dead movement. And had this trend become reality, one would have seen less and less reference to God and to faith and Jesus in the 70s and the 80s and even during the 90s. But just the opposite has taken place. The last 30 years has seen not less, but more talk about God. And some of the most intriguing discussions have been initiated, not by the church, but by secular institutions and especially major magazines. For example, on August 15, 1988, Time magazine's main story was, Who was Jesus? 4 years later, on December 21, 1992, Canada's leading news magazine, Maclean's, published a cover story with exactly the same headline, Who was Jesus? 5 days later, in another Time magazine cover story, the question was asked, What does science tell us about God? Then in April of 1994, Newsweek on its front cover featured Jesus and asked that very critical question, Why was Christ crucified? Oh, we could go on and on, reciting a long list of other major journals which in recent years have featured as their main articles questions about God and faith and Jesus Christ. And so with all this talk, especially in the secular press about religion and death and the resurrection of Christ, it is indeed foolish to try to say that God is dead. In spite of atheism's loudest statements, God is very much alive. And in spite of secularism's best efforts to satisfy the hungry soul of 20th century man with materialism, the souls of millions continue to cry out for help and for hope. The question today, then, is not, is there a God? The burning question in the hearts and souls of millions today is this, how can I get to know God? And how can I please God? These, of course, are not new questions. They are not unique to the 20th century either. In the Bible, in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, we read that one day Jesus had slipped away from the large crowds that were following him. But after some hours, the confused masses caught up with Jesus again. These people then said to Jesus, What shall we do that we might do the works of God? Confused as these crowds always were, these weary people were hoping that Jesus would explain to them some method or some lifestyle that they could adopt in order to please the Lord. These same searching people were then surprised. Yes, they were surely shocked by Jesus' answer. When the people asked, What shall we do? Jesus turned it all around and said, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. You see, the people had asked, What can we do? But Jesus responded by saying, First, look at what God has already done. Millions in our own country are also searching for a religion, or a religious lifestyle, if we can say that, that they hope that they can adopt that will both please God and make them feel religious. But even we, in the 20th century, are faced with the clear biblical teaching recorded in the book of Hebrews, which states that, without faith, it is impossible to please God. This biblical teaching is so important, especially in our modern generation of self-centeredness, a generation that believes that it can accomplish everything, even its own salvation. Oh yes, my friends, we need to repeat this teaching of the Bible again and again. No matter how hard we might work, and no matter how religious we might become, Without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please God. And so then, if the Bible does clearly state that without faith it is impossible to please God, then one of the most critical questions that we face in the 20th century is this. What is faith? A clear definition of faith requires speaking some very uncomfortable truths. And to begin, we state this. Faith is not to be confused with religious feelings. The Gallup poll, for example, regularly reports that over 90% of our population believes in God or has some religious feelings. However, religious feelings, as sincere as they might be, are never to be confused with faith. According to the Bible, faith, saving faith, is a gift of God. It is a product of the work of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, while you and I might feel very religious all of our lives, we may not have faith. We might not have the true and saving faith as taught in the Bible. According to the Scriptures, faith is to know God as He wants to be known. Faith is to not only know God, but also to trust in God for all things. Saving faith, then, is to believe in God and to trust in the sin-cleansing and soul-saving power of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches again and again that God has revealed Himself in Jesus. Therefore, if we want to have a God-pleasing faith, we need to center our faith in God's highest revelation, the Lord Jesus. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1, we read, "After He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days God has spoken to us in His Son." It is indeed difficult for any of us to come to God, not in our way, but in His way. You see, because of our self-centered nature, we want to accomplish our salvation by our own efforts and by our own works. God, however, says no. God has established His own way for our salvation, and this is the way of grace. And this way of grace is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then, let's listen again to our text for today. Remember the weary and hungry crowds that had followed Jesus? They said to Jesus, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus surprised them. He answered and said to them, "This is the work of God. Yes, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." Those who followed Jesus were asking very direct and sincere questions, and they wanted answers. Jesus gave them direct and sincere answers. He explained to the milling crowds that if they wanted to please God, they would have to do it on God's terms and not on their own. And so then today, even those who are skeptical of all religions must admit one thing. God has made His teachings regarding salvation very, very clear in the Bible. The path to heaven and to His throne leads through a door, and this door is the Lord Jesus. This same Jesus is more than just one more among many religious figures. Jesus Christ is unique. Jesus is the one and the only Son of God. Jesus died to pay for the sins of all people, but most important, Jesus rose again from the dead. It is important to know and to believe and to trust in the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the joy, my friend, the joy of the faith is to know the power of His resurrection that lives within the hearts of all believers. The Apostle Paul said it like this, "More than anything else, St. Paul desired to live in the power of Christ's resurrection." This last April, Time magazine again had a very striking picture on its front cover. The title of this most recent issue asked, "Can we still believe in miracles?" And the picture used for the front cover was one of the most beautiful and one of the most powerful paintings of the resurrection of Jesus. And so then, because the miracle of the resurrection had occurred so unexpectedly, so powerfully, and so dramatically, the Roman soldiers guarding the tomb are pictured as filled with fear. This, however, should not surprise us, because, you see, you and I would also be shocked. Yes, indeed, we would be beside ourselves, as we often say, if we, while we walk through a cemetery in our area, if we would suddenly see somebody being raised from the dead. So then, since Time magazine a few months ago asked the question, "Can we still believe in miracles?" the answer is simple and very, very clear. Not only can we believe in miracles, but if we want to please God, you and I, by faith, must believe in miracles. And just as He has repeatedly promised, God will surely grant us the gift of faith through His Holy Spirit. So then today, if you are thinking the thoughts of the crowds of people who follow Jesus, and if you are also wondering what you can do to please God, then search no more. What you think you have to do, God has already done in Jesus Christ. And praise God that your heart has now a desire to know Him. When you find yourself wanting to know God through His revelation in Jesus Christ, rejoice. Oh, rejoice! Because you see, through God's enabling power, a miracle has taken place in your heart. And even though there may be no logical way to explain it, from the witness of the Spirit of God within you, you know that God has given you faith. And of course, don't ever be ashamed of this. Instead, always be willing and ready to confess your faith in the God of the Bible, the Creator of the entire universe, and the One who is always ready to forgive your past sins and point you to a wonderful, a blessed, and an eternal future. Oh, my friend, let this day be for you a new start. And instead of wallowing in the uncertainty of your own religious efforts to please God, build your future instead on the solid foundation of faith in the saving Christ. Jesus said, "Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. However, whoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Oh, my dear friend, for you the hour is late, and the time is now. Don't turn away from God simply because you feel inadequate or unprepared or not knowledgeable enough. God is waiting for you with open arms, and your gracious Heavenly Father is waiting not to interrogate you, but to receive you in love. God is waiting to forgive you and to take you back. The goodness and the graciousness that God is now extending to you was expressed by a hymn writer over one century ago when he wrote, "Today thy mercy calls us to wash away our sin, however great our trespass, whatever we have been. However long from mercy our hearts have turned away, thy precious blood can cleanse us and make us white today. Today thy gate is open, and all who enter in shall find a Father's welcome and pardon for their sin. The past shall be forgotten, a present joy be given, a future grace be promised, a glorious crown in heaven. O Lord, today we pray there are many, many hearts that need your forgiveness, your cleansing, and your new life. By your Spirit, O Lord, enable these weary men and women to find within your loving, gracious, and forgiving arms the peace and the forgiveness that only you can give. O Lord of grace, we commend all listeners of this broadcast today unto your love and care. In Jesus' intercessory name, we pray and we believe with confidence. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.